49. Born unto light. 23 years ago. Dalinar pressed his fingers together, then rubbed them, scraping the dry red-brown moss against itself. The scratchy sound was unpleasantly similar to that of a knife along bone. He felt the warmth immediately like an ember. A thin plume of smoke rose from his calloused fingers and struck below his nose, then parted around his face. Everything faded. The raucous sound of too many men in one room, the musky smell of their bodies pressed together. Euphoria spread through him like sudden sunlight on a cloudy day. He released a protracted sigh. He didn't even mind when Bashan accidentally elbowed him. Most places, being High Prince, would have won him a bubble of space, but at the stained wooden table in this poorly lit den, social standing was irrelevant. Here, with a good drink and a little help pressed between his fingers, he could finally relax. Here, nobody cared how presentable he was or if he drank too much. Here, he didn't have to listen to reports of rebellion and imagine himself out on those fields solving problems the direct way, sword in hand, thrill in his heart. He rubbed the moss more vigorously. Don't think about war, just live in the moment, as Evie always said. Havar returned with drinks. The lean, bearded man studied the overcrowded bench, then set the drinks down and hauled a slumped drunk out of his spot. He squeezed in beside Bashan. Havar was light-eyed, good family, too. He'd been one of Dalinar's elites back when that had meant something, though now he had his own land and a high commission. He was one of the few who didn't salute Dalinar so hard you could hear it. Bashan, though. Well, Bashan was an odd one. Dark-eyed of the first non, the portly man had traveled half the world and encouraged Dalinar to go with him to see the other half. He still wore that stupid wide-brimmed floppy hat. Havar grunted, passing down the drinks.
Squeezing in beside you, Bashan, would be far easier if you didn't have a gut that stretched to next week.
Just trying to do my duty, Bright Lord.
Your duty?
Light eyes need folks to obey them, right? I'm making certain that you got lots to serve you, at least by weight.
Dalinar took his mug but didn't drink. For now, the fire moss was doing its job. His wasn't the only plume rising in the dim stone chamber. Gavilar hated the stuff, but then Gavilar liked his life now. In the center of the dim room, a pair of parshmen pushed tables aside, then started setting diamond chips on the floor. Men backed away, making space for a large ring of light. A couple of shirtless men pushed their way through the crowd. The room's general air of clumsy conversation turned to one of roaring excitement.
"Are we going to bet?"
Havar asked.
"Sure,"
Bashan replied.
"I'll put these three garnet marks on the shorter one."
"I'll take that bet," Havar said. "But not for the money. If I win, I want your hat."
"Deal! Ha! So you're finally going to admit how dashing it is?"
"Dashing? Storms, Bashan. I'm going to do you a favor and burn the thing."
Dalinar sat back, mind dulled by the fire moss.
"Burn my hat," Bashan said. "Storms, Havar. That's harsh. Just because you envy my dashing profile.
The only thing dashing about that hat is how it makes women run the other way.
It's exotic. From the West. Everyone knows fashion comes from the West.
Yeah, from Leofor and Yezir. Where did you get that hat again?"
"The Pure Lake. Ah, that bastion of culture and fashion. Are you going shopping in Bavland next?" "Barmaids don't know the difference," Bashan grumbled. "Anyway, can we just watch the match? I'm looking forward to winning those marks off you."
He took a drink, but fingered his hat anxiously. Dalinar closed his eyes. He felt as if he could drift off, maybe get some sleep without worrying about Evie or dreaming of war. In the ring, bodies smacked against each other. That sound, the grunts of exertion as the wrestlers tried to push each other from the ring, reminded him of the battle. Dalinar opened his eyes, dropped the moss, and leaned forward. The shorter wrestler danced out of the other's grip. They revolved around one another, crouched, hands at the ready. When they locked again, the shorter man pushed his opponent off balance.
Better stance, Dalinar thought. Kept himself low. A taller fellow has gotten by too long on his strength and size. He's got terrible form.
The two strained, backing toward the edge of the ring before the taller man managed to trip them both. Dalinar stood up as others ahead of him raised their hands and cheered.
The contest, the fight. That led me to almost kill Gavilar.
Dalinar sat back down. The shorter man won. Havar sighed, but rolled a few glowing spheres to Bashan.
Double or nothing on the next bout?
Nah, Bashan said, hefting the marks. It should be enough.
For what?
To bribe a few influential young dandies into trying hats like mine, Bashan said. I tell you, once word gets out, everyone is going to be wearing them.
You're an idiot.
So long as I'm a fashionable one.
Dalinar reached to the floor and picked up the fire moss. He tossed it onto the table and stared at it, then took a pull from his mug of wine. The next wrestling match started, and he winced as the two competitors collided. Storms, why did he keep putting himself into situations like this?
Dalinar, Havar said. Any word yet on when we're going to the rift?
The rift? Bashan asked. What about it?
Are you dense? Havar said.
No, Bashan said, but I might be drunk. What's up with the rift?
Rumor is they want to set up their own high prince, Havar said. Son of the old one. What was his name?
Tanalon, Dalinar said. But we're not going to be visiting the rift, Havar.
Surely the king can't...
We won't be going, Dalinar said. You've got men to train, and I...
Dalinar drank more wine.
I'm going to be a father. My brother can handle the rift with diplomacy.
Havar leaned back, flippantly dropping his mug to the table.
The king can't politic his way past open rebellion, Dalinar.
Dalinar closed his fist around the fire moss, but didn't rub it. How much of his interest in the rift was his duty to protect Gavilar's kingdom, and how much was his craving to feel the thrill again?
Damnation.
He felt like half a man these days. One of the wrestlers had shoved the other from the ring, disturbing the line of lights. The loser was declared, and a parchment carefully reset the ring. As he did so, a master servant stepped up to Dalinar's table.
Pardon, bright lord, he whispered, but you should know. The feature match will have to be cancelled.
What? Bashan said. What's wrong? Mark isn't going to fight?
Pardon, the master servant repeated, but his opponent has stomach problems. The match must be cancelled.
Apparently, news was spreading through the room. The crowd manifested their disapproval with boos and curses, shouts, and spilled drinks. A tall, bald man stood at the side of the ring, bare-chested. He argued with several of the light-eyed organizers, pointing at the ring, anger spren boiling on the floor around him. To Dalinar, this racket sounded like the calls of battle. He closed his eyes and breathed it in, finding a euphoria far superior to the fire moss. Storms. He should have gotten drunker. He was going to slip.
Might as well be quick about it, then. He tossed aside the fire moss and stood, then pulled off his shirt.
Dalinar,
Havar said.
What are you doing?
Gavilar says I need to have more concern for our people's sorrows, Dalinar said, stepping up onto the table. Seems like we've got a room full of sorrow here.
Havar gaped, jaw dropping.
Bet on me, Dalinar said, for old time's sake.
He leaped off the table on the other side, then shoved through the crowd.
Someone tell that man he has a challenger.
Silence spread from him like a bad smell. Dalinar found himself at the edge of the ring in a completely quiet room, packed with once rowdy men, both light-eyed and dark.
The wrestler, Mach, stepped back, his dark green eyes wide, anger spren vanishing. He had a powerful build, arms that bulged like they were overstuffed. Word was he'd never been defeated.
Well, Dalinar said, you wanted a fight, and I need a workout.
Right, Lord, the man said. This was to be a freeform bout. All hits and holds allowed.
Excellent, Dalinar said.
What? You worried about injuring your high prince? I promise you clemency for anything done to me.
Hurting you? The man said.
Storms, that's not what I'm afraid of.
He shivered visibly, and a Thalen woman, perhaps his manager, smacked him on the arm. She thought he'd been rude. The wrestler only bowed and backed away. Dalinar turned about the room, confronted by a sea of faces that suddenly seemed very uncomfortable. He'd broken some kind of rule here. The gathering dissolved, Parshman retrieving spheres from the ground. It seemed Dalinar had been too hasty to judge rank unimportant here. They'd suffered him as an observer, but he was not to participate.
Damnation.
He growled softly as he stalked to his bench, those anger spren following him on the floor. He took his shirt from Bashan with a swipe of the hand. Back with his elites, any man, from the lowest spearmen to the highest captains, would have sparred or wrestled with him. Storms he'd faced the cook several times, much to the amusement of everyone involved. He sat down and pulled on his shirt, stewing. He'd ripped the buttons free in removing it so quickly. The room fell silent as people continued to leave, and Dalinar just sat there, tense, his body still expecting the fight that would never come. No thrill. Nothing to fill him. Soon he and his friends were alone in the room, surveying empty tables, abandoned cups, and spilled drinks. The place somehow smelled even worse now than it had when crowded with men.
Probably for the best, Bright Lord, Havar said.
I want to be among soldiers again, Havar, Dalinar whispered. I want to be marching again. Best sleep a man can get is after a long march. And damnation, I want to fight. I want to face someone who won't pull their punches because I'm a high prince.
Then let's find such a fight, Dalinar, Havar said. Surely the king will let us go. If not to the Rift, then to Herdaz or one of the Isles. We can bring him land, glory, honor.
That wrestler, Dalinar said. There was something to his words. He was certain I would hurt him.
Dalinar drummed his fingers on the table.
Was he scared off because of my reputation in general, or is there something more specific?
Bashan and Havar shared a look.
When? Dalinar asked.
Tavern fight, Havar said. 2 weeks back. Do you remember it?
Dalinar remembered a haze of monotony broken by light, a burst of color in his life. Emotion. He breathed out.
You told me everyone was fine.
They lived, Havar said.
One of the brawlers you fought will never walk, Bashan admitted. Another had to have his arm removed. A third babbles like a child. His brain doesn't work anymore. That's far from fine, Dalinar snapped.
Pardon, Dalinar, Havar said. But when facing the Blackthorn, that's as good as one can expect.
Dalinar crossed his arms on the table, grinding his teeth. The fire moss wasn't working. Yes, it gave him a quick rush of euphoria, but that only made him want the greater headiness of the thrill. Even now, he felt on edge. He had the urge to smash this table and everything in the room. He'd been so ready for the fight. He'd surrendered to the temptation, and then had the pleasure stolen from him. He felt all the shame of losing control, but none of the satisfaction of actually getting to fight. Dalinar seized his mug, but it was empty. Stormfather. He threw it and stood up, wanting to scream. He was fortunately distracted by the back door to the wrestling den inching open, revealing a familiar pale face. Toe wore Alethi clothing now, one of the new suits that Gavilar preferred, but it fit him poorly. He was too spindly. No man would ever mistake To, with that overcautious gait and wide-eyed innocence, for a soldier.
Dalinar?
He asked, looking over the spilled drinks and the locked sphere lamps on the walls.
The guards said I could find you here. Was this a party?
Ah, To, Habar said, lounging back in his seat. How could it have been a party without you?
To's eyes flicked toward the chunk of fire moss on the ground nearby.
I'll never understand what you see in these places, Dalinar.
He's just getting to know the common people, Bright Lord,
Bashan said, pocketing the fire moss.
You know us dark-eyed types, always wallowing in depravity. We need good role models, too.
He cut off as Dalinar raised his hand. He didn't need underlings to cover for him.
What is it, To?
Oh,
the Rearin man said.
They were going to send a messenger, but I wanted to deliver the news. My sister, you see. It's a little early, but the midwives aren't surprised. They say it's natural when...
Dalinar gasped, like he'd been punched in the stomach.
Early, midwife's sister.
He charged for the door and didn't hear the rest of what To said. Evie looked like she'd fought in a battle. He'd seen that expression on the faces of soldiers many times. That sweaty brow, that half-dazed, drowsy look. Exhaustion spren like jets in the air. These were the mark of a person pushed past the limits of what they thought they could do. She bore a smile of quiet satisfaction, a look of victory. Dalinar pushed past doting surgeons and midwives, stepping up to Evie's bed. She held out a limp hand, her left hand, which was wrapped only in a thin envelope that ended at the wrist. It would have been a sign of intimacy to an Alethi, but Evie still preferred that hand.
The baby,
he whispered, taking the hand.
A son. Healthy and strong.
A son. I have a son.
Dalinar dropped to his knees beside the bed.
Where is he?
Being washed, my lord, said one of the midwives. He will be returned shortly.
Torn buttons, Evie whispered. You've been fighting again, Dalinar?
Just a small diversion.
That's what you say each time.
Dalinar squeezed her hand through the envelope, too elated to prickle at the chastisement.
You and To came here to Alethkar because you wanted someone to protect you. You sought out a fighter, Evie.
She squeezed his hand back. A nurse approached with a bundle in her arms, and Dalinar looked up, stunned, unable to rise.
Now, the woman said, many men are apprehensive at first when...
She cut off as Dalinar found his strength and seized the child from her arms. He held the boy aloft in both hands, letting out a whooping laugh, glory spren bursting around him as golden spheres.
My son,
he said.
My lord, the nurse said, be careful.
He's a Kolin, Dalinar said, cradling the child. He's made of hardy stuff.
He looked down at the boy, who, red-faced, wiggled and thrashed with his tiny fists. He had shockingly thick hair, black and blonde mixed. Good coloring, distinctive.
May you have your father's strength,
Dalinar thought, rubbing the child's face with his finger.
And at least some of your mother's compassion, little one.
Looking into that face, swelling with joy, Dalinar finally understood. This was why Gavilar thought so much about the future, about Alethkar, about crafting a kingdom that would last. Dalinar's life so far had stained him crimson and thrashed his soul. His heart was so crusted over with creme it might as well have been a stone. But this boy, he could rule the princedom, support his cousin the king, and live a life of honor.
His name, Bright Lord?
Asked Ishal, an aged ardent from the Devatory of Purity.
I would burn the proper glyph wards if it pleases you.
Name, Dalinar said. Eduda.
Light. He glanced toward Ebi, who nodded in agreement.
Without a suffix, my lord? Edodan? Edodal?
Lynn, Dalinar whispered. Born unto. Adolin. A good name, traditional, full of meaning. With regret, Dalinar surrendered the child to the nurses, who returned him to his mother, explaining that it was important to train the baby to suckle as soon as possible. Most in the room began to file out to offer privacy, and as they did, Dalinar caught sight of a regal figure standing at the back. How had he missed Gavilar there? Gavilar took him by the arm and gave him a good thump on the back as they left the chamber. Dalinar was so dazed he barely felt it. He needed to celebrate, buy drinks for every man in the army, declare a holiday, or just run through the city whooping for joy. He was a father.
An excellent day, Gavilar said. A most excellent day. How do you contain it? Dalinar said. This excitement.
Gavilar grinned.
I let the emotion be my reward for the work I have done.
Dalinar nodded, then studied his brother.
What? Dalinar said. Something is wrong.
Nothing.
Don't lie to me, brother.
I don't want to ruin your wonderful day.
Wondering will ruin it more than anything you could say, Gavilar. Out with it.
The king mulled, then nodded toward Dalinar's den. They crossed the main chamber, passing furniture that was far too showy, colorful with floral patterns and plush cushions. Evie's taste was partially to blame, though it was also just life these days. His life was plush. The den was more to his liking. A few chairs, a hearth, a simple rug.
A cabinet with various exotic and potent wines, each in a distinctive bottle.
They were the type it was almost ashamed to drink, as it spoiled the display.
It's your daughter, Dalinar guessed. Her lunacy.
Yasna is fine and recovering.
It's not that.
Gavilar frowned, his expression dangerous. He'd agreed to a crown after much debate. Sunmaker hadn't won one, and the history said Ysera Elin refused them as well. But people did love symbols, and most Western kings wore crowns. Gavilar had settled upon a black iron circlet. The more Gavilar's hair grayed, the easier the crown was to see. A servant had set a fire in the hearth, though it was burning low, only a single flame spren crawling along the embers.
I am failing, Gavilar said.
What?
Rathalas, the rift.
But I thought...
Propaganda, Gavilar said. Intended to quiet critical voices in Kolinar. Tanalan is raising an army and settling into his fortifications. Worse, I think the other high princes are encouraging him. They want to see how I handle this.
He sneered.
There's talk I've grown soft over the years.
They're wrong.
Dalinar had seen it, these months living with Gavilar. His brother had not grown soft. He was still as eager for conquest as ever. He simply approached it differently. The clash of words, the maneuvering of princedoms into positions where they were forced to obey. The fire's embers seemed to pulse like a heartbeat.
Do you ever wonder about the time when this kingdom was truly great, Dalinar?
Gavilar asked.
When people looked to the Alethi? When kings sought their advice? When we were... radiant?
Traitors, Dalinar said.
Does the act of a single generation negate many generations of domination? We revere the Sunmaker when his reign lasted but the blink of an eye. Yet we ignore the centuries the Radiance led. How many desolations did they defend mankind?
The Ardents talked about this in prayers, didn't they? He tried to guess.
10?
A meaningless number, Gavilar said, waving his fingers. The histories just say 10 because it sounds significant. Either way, I have failed in my diplomatic efforts.
He turned toward Dalinar. It is time to show the kingdom that we are not soft, brother.
Oh, no.
Hours ago, he would have leaped in excitement. but after seeing that child... You'll be anxious again in a few days, Dalinar told himself. A man can't change in a moment. Gavilar, he whispered. I'm worried. You're still the Black Thorn, Dalinar. I'm not worried about whether I can win battles. Dalinar stood, throwing back his chair in his haste. He found himself pacing. I'm like an animal, Gavilar. Did you hear about the bar fight? Storms, I can't be trusted around people. You are what the Almighty made you. I'm telling you, I'm dangerous. Sure, I can crush this little rebellion, bathe Oathbringer in some blood. Great, wonderful. Then what? I come back here and lock myself in a cage again?
I might have something that will help.
Bah. I've tried living a quiet life. I can't live through endless politics like you can. I need more than just words.
You've merely been trying to restrain yourself. You've tried casting out the bloodthirst, but you haven't replaced it with anything else. Go do what I command, then return and we can discuss further.
Dalinar stopped near his brother, then took a single purposeful step into his shadow. Remember this. Remember you serve him. He would never return to that place that had almost led him to attack this man.
When do I ride for the Rift? Dalinar asked.
You don't. But you just said, I'm sending you to battle, but not against the Rift. Our kingdom suffers threats from abroad. There is a new dynasty threatening us from Herdaz. A Reshi house has gained power there, and the Vaidens have been raiding Alethkar in the southwest. They're claiming it's bandits, but the forces are too organized. It's a test to see how we react.
Dalinar nodded slowly.
You want me to go fight on our borders? Remind everyone we're still capable of employing the sword.
Exactly. This is a dangerous time for us, brother. The High Prince's question. Is a united Alethkar worth the trouble? Why bow before a king?
Tanalan is the manifestation of their questions, but he has been careful not to stray into outright rebellion.
If you attack him, the other High Princes could unite behind the rebels. We could shatter the kingdom and have to start all over. I will not allow that. I will have a unified Alethkar. Even if I have to hit the High Princes so hard they are forced to melt together from the heat of it. They need to remember that. Go to Herdaz first, then Yakaved. Remind everyone why they fear you.
Gavilar met Dalinar's eyes. No, he was not soft. He thought like a king now. He sought the long term, but Gavilar Kholin was as determined as ever.
It will be done, Dalinar said. Storms this day had been a tempest of emotion.
Dalinar stalked toward the door. He wanted to see the child again.
Brother, Gavilar said.
Dalinar turned back and regarded Gavilar, who was bathed by the bleeding light of a fire reaching its end.
Words are important, Gavilar said. Much more than you give them credit for being.
Perhaps, Dalinar said.
But if they were all powerful, you wouldn't need my sword, would you? Perhaps. I can't help feeling words would be enough, if only I knew the right ones to say.